Shirley Burns lives in a quiet neighborhood outside Fayetteville, where she's worked as a nurse for years. She loves knickknacks, especially angel figurines. There's a long line of them displayed on the mantle of her living room fireplace.
This one right here, the two large ones, are the guardian angels over the whole house. This one right here.
Each figure represents something or someone to Burns. She touches her favorite, a tall angel holding one cherub in her arms with another floating above its shoulder.
Curtis is the one with the angels that has flown away. Marcus is the one that the angel is still holding in her arms. That's the one incarcerated.
Marcus Robinson, who's African-American, was convicted in 1994 of killing a white teenager and sent to death row. More than a decade later, his older brother Curtis, who was in the Navy, was found lying dead in a ditch. Burns says she would have lost her mind both times were it not for her strong Christian faith.
And the biggest test that I've had to go through at first was my son being incarcerated. No parent wants that, saved or unsaved. And I had to draw from the well then. And then I had a son that was murdered. Had to draw from the well then.
But some would say Burns has drawn from the well many times before that. Born in Georgia, she married a soldier and moved her growing family to Fayetteville. But her husband was abusive, especially toward Marcus, who was her youngest child. Burns says she took the abuse herself to prevent her husband from harming the little boy. It got so bad that one day he threatened to kill her.
The last thing I remember when that shotgun was put to my head, I said, well, God, his father said, I'm sick of you and that Jesus. He said, I'm sick of you and that Jesus. So I said, God, if it's my time to go, watch over my babies, watch over my children. And that's when he pointed the gun at my head and it went off and went in the ceiling.
That emboldened Burns to stop hiding the abuse. She started going to church with black eyes, so everyone in the congregation knew what was happening. Eventually, Burns divorced and went back to work as a nurse. But money was tight, and she wasn't home during the day to keep a close eye on her kids, especially Marcus, who was a handful.
They got picked on a lot. Marcus, the law, our children learn. Once you get a certain age, your parents can't make you go to school. They know this. And I would be at work and would think he was at school. He would be at some other kid's house.
Burns found it hard to discipline Marcus. Once he broke her window and she decided to call the police on him to teach him a lesson. But she says he kept hanging around the wrong crowd. In 1994, Marcus was convicted for the 1991 murder of Eric Tornblum. His co-defendant is serving a life sentence. Burns believes racial bias played a role in the jury's decision to convict her son.
If you don't have the financial resources, you don't know the right people to stand up and intervene for you, you can get the short end of the stick. And my son's trial to me was a mockery. To justice. They really was. And the Racial Justice Act is a good thing for everybody.
Some critics of the Racial Justice Act say it only benefits African Americans, but Burns believes juries can be biased against whites too, especially when class issues come into play. When it comes to attorneys, she says she wishes there were a law that forced prosecutors to go after all criminals equally. Her son Curtis was killed by two black men. Burns believes prosecutors should have worked harder to punish his murderers.
The people who willfully, intentionally, premeditated took my son's life, Curtis. I didn't ask for the death penalty, but I found out that the state could have incarcerated them for life. They did not. They didn't go after these guys who willfully planned, plotted, and carried out my son's death.
What happened to Curtis weighs on Burns. She wishes she had pushed prosecutors more. As for Marcus, who's on death row, Burns says, as a young mother, she never would have imagined her youngest child would end up there. She says she has conversations with Marcus about this.
But I say, maybe you're serving your purpose in life to open up the eyes of people. I say, not that it's what we would choose for you. And I try to look at things in a sunny way. I say, it doesn't feel good where we are. But I say some good can come out of a bad situation.
Marcus's hearing will begin at 10 o'clock this morning. It could last as long as 2 weeks. Jessica Jones, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.